Hey everyone, this is Todd the 206 Geek. Just wanted to do a quick intro. Going forward with the podcast, I'm going to start using Patreon again. And basically what I'm going to use the Patreon for is for early access to episodes. I'm going to start posting them earlier on Patreon a day or two before I normally post them on here. And on top of that, I'm also going to be posting episodes without the advertisements on them. So in order to gain access early and to remove the advertisements, go over to patreon.com/206geek.
We should, like, go and, like, hang out with Todd.
Whoa, it's Todd.
Yeah.
Todd's even cooler than we thought.
Boys, I'm looking for a fella who goes by the name of Todd.
Oh, yeah. He's cool.
Todd would make, like, a good manager or something.
Todd roll.
Welcome to another episode of the 206 Geek Podcast with your host Todd, the 206 Geek.
Yes, hi, I'm Todd, the 206 Geek. I am your host. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the 206 Geek. And, I got a few things I want to talk about today. And one of them is I watched Space Force, and you know, if I had to give it a rating between 1 and 5 stars overall, I'd say 3.5, because it had some funny moments, but it had some really stupid moments too. I liked that it didn't, like, come out and say specific people's names when referencing specific political titles. Let's put it that way. They didn't say anyone's names. They called them by their title in the government. I thought that was cool, because then we're not singling out any one person. We're just kind of like poking fun at that office. And depending on when you see the show, assuming it's still on Netflix years from now, it could be anyone, even though we know exactly who they're talking about. I think the reason why I gave it 3.5 stars is because some of the jokes were not that they were cringy per se, but I felt awkward for the person saying them. You ever get like that when you're watching something? You go, oh, dude, don't say that. No. You know, that kind of thing. And, excuse me, get a little phlegmy today for some reason. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. So if you haven't seen it, I recommend at least checking out the first episode and seeing if you want to continue watching it or not. But I watched the whole series because there were certain parts of the show that I was like, okay, they could have done that better. They could have said that differently. Why does that have to be so cringy? Why does that have to be so awkward? There is parts of the show I'm watching it, and my mind goes straight to, like, Wayne from Letterkenny saying, why do you have to be so awkward, bud? You know? It's just, I think that's the quote. I could be wrong. I could be paraphrasing it. Either way, that's kind of what he meant. So it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just the way certain actors portray certain scenes that made it feel awkward for me. I felt I felt awkward for that person. I felt like, man, I would never be saying this. I'd be afraid to say something like this. I'd be afraid to do that just because it would make me feel awkward. I think I'm... Oh, you know, I'm hearing noise, and I think it's the neighbors doing their lawnmowers and stuff, and I'm hopefully that's not picking up on my mic. It probably isn't, but that's why I paused for a second there. I apologize. Anyways, so some of the things that I pulled up on Feedly, got quite a few stories from comicbook.com. They seem to put out the most stories that I actually look at and read. Maybe it's just the way they do their website. It's not overly loaded with advertisements. It's not like 75% advertisements and 25% story like some other sites that will go unnamed, because I honestly can't remember the name of the site that did that. I just stopped reading from that site. So the first story I have here, Ghostbusters cast reunion teased by Josh Gad's United Apart. Reunited Apart, right? Rather. And if you're not familiar with Reunited Apart, which is a YouTube channel that Josh Gad, who is the voice of Olaf from the Frozen movies, he's one of those people that my initial impression of him was he's an awkward person who's desperately trying to be funny. And I feel awkward for him. And the end result was I didn't like some of the movies he was in when I realized that's who. I mean, I liked Frozen 1 and 2, and it had zero to do with Josh being Olaf, because Olaf is kind of an annoying character anyway. He's not really designed for me. He's for the kids to watch. He's comic relief for the kids to watch these movies. But I have to admit, My opinion of Josh did a 180 when I started watching these Reunited Apart shows he's been doing on YouTube. The one that really kind of like grabbed me by just grabbed my attention was the first one where he had the cast from the Goonies, all the kids, and a couple of the guys. And I actually think even the director and the writer and the producers and stuff were all in there too. So if you haven't seen that one, definitely check that one out. But I'm going to be talking about the Ghostbusters reunion on Reunited Apart. And then I'm going to talk about, there's a story here about the Big Bang Theory star says a reunion can't happen because of quote unquote legal stuff. And then we have a story about WandaVision. I guess there's a company in Hong Kong that is challenging the trademark for WandaVision, so I'll talk about that. And then we have a story here on Heroic Hollywood where the Suicide Squad director David Ayer defends Jared Leto's Joker look. I'm curious as to what he has to say about the look. Because, to be honest, that's not one of my favorites. I really didn't like it, to be honest. And I think his character would have maybe been perceived better or differently if he looked more closer to the original version of the Joker, closer to the source. All right, another story that I wanted to talk about: Disney reportedly developing a live-action remake of The Black Cauldron. And then we have the next story on the list of things to talk about today is Flashpoint movie to bring this Justice League character. Oh, yeah, and Flashpoint is still happening? So, and then the next story, I should probably move this to the front of the list so I can get it over with. That's what I'll do. I'll move this to the front of the list. I'll talk about it first. Is Jake Paul reacts to being charged with criminal trespassing and unlawful assembly. If you're not familiar with who Jake Paul is, you're better for it. He is a YouTuber who's, he's an idiot. All right. Next story on the list of things to talk about. DC's Cyborg rumored to appear in the Flash movie. That would be awesome, considering he was barely in Justice League. Let's see here. I saw this video. The Nerdist talks about the Skrull obstacle course reveals Skrull's ninja abilities. Yeah, I saw that video. It's absolutely hilarious to watch these Skrulls kind of figure out the obstacle course. And then the Nerdist also brings us real-life Back to the Future 2 Slugger 2000. So I'll talk about those things today on the podcast. Let's get to it, man. All right, so like I said, I'm going to move that Jake Paul story to the beginning because, honestly, anytime he's in the news on YouTube, I'm like, what did he fucking do this time? What kind of ridiculous thing did he do to upset the masses? So this is what it says on comicbook.com. Famous YouTuber Jake Paul has been charged with criminal trespassing and unlawful assembly after he was seen on video present where looting was taking place in Arizona. Paul was present after the protest was declared an unlawful assembly and the rioters were ordered to leave the area by police. According to a statement by officials, after hundreds of videos and tips were sent to officials, they were able to move forward with charges for the controversial content creator. Now, Paul has officially commented on facing two misdemeanor charges. It says here, Paul seems to be aiming to deflect the attention from himself after being present for the looting. He quote tweeted an Arizona news station which wrote about the charges for his comment. Give me my charges and let's put the focus back on George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter, he said. Well, yeah, that's probably the most responsible thing I've ever heard him say or do. He does things without really thinking about it. He doesn't really consider the repercussions of what he's done. I think the last thing I saw of him was he went to that forest out in, I think it was in Japan, where people go to hang themselves, and he actually videoed someone hanging from a tree. I was like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? What's wrong with you? Don't put that on camera. That is so disrespectful. I don't know if maybe he's trying to be like a legit, like, you know, investigative reporter or some shit. I don't know. But I was expecting him to be like trying to do some stupid stunt during all this. Let's see what else it says here. Quote, to be absolutely clear, neither I nor anyone in our group was engaged in any looting or vandalism, Paul said in a tweet. For context, we spent the day doing our part to peacefully protest one of the most horrific injustices in our country has ever seen, which led to us being tear gassed and for filming the events and brutality that were unfolding in Arizona. We were gassed and forced to keep moving on foot. We filmed everything we saw in an effort to share our experience and bring more attention to the anger felt in every neighborhood we traveled through. We were strictly documenting, not engaging. I do not condone violence, looting, or breaking the law. Holy shit. Okay, my opinion of the guy is changing, because this is probably the most, and unless this was like one of those where he was told what to say in order to like sound less of an asshole. That's probably more accurate, knowing this, knowing what I've seen from this guy. Okay. And it looks like it shows a clip of the video, or one of the videos here. I don't know, man. I think that that's definitely probably one of the more... I mean, it's fucked up that he was there, you know, in the heat, that all this is going on. And it sounds like he was being responsible. In that regard, I think, you know, good on you, Jake Paul, for doing that. I was totally expecting something else from this. I should have pre-read it first. But I when I'm reading these things like this, I want to have a legit reaction to the things that are being said. I don't want to read it first and then have to fake a reaction. I want you guys to hear my legit reaction to the stories I'm reading. So sometimes I've read stories and go, wow, this is not nearly as sensational as I thought it was going to be. You know, and that probably looks bad on me for thinking it would be. But, you know. Anyways, let's go on to the next story. The next story, which would have been the first story, which is Ghostbusters cast reunion teased on Josh Gad's Reunited Apart. This is... Who are you going to Zoom call? The cast of Ghostbusters will video call into host Josh Gad's YouTube series Reunited Apart on Monday, June 8th. Exactly 36 years after the release of director Ivan Reitman's supernatural comedy that starred Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, and Harold Ramis as a crew of Ghostbusters hired to rid the city of New York of paranormal threats. Gad revealed the Ghostbusters edition of Reunited Apart when Ray Parker Jr.'s iconic theme song, Ghostbusters, played over the closing seconds of One Zoom to Rule Them All, the latest episode of the hit YouTube series that reunites cast and crews from across the Lord of the Rings trilogy. A guest list for Gad's Ghostbusters episode has not been revealed. Murray, Aykroyd, Hudson are expected to appear as they will reprise their original roles in the Jason Reitman-directed Ghostbusters Afterlife alongside Sigourney Weaver, who played Haunty Dana Barrett, and Annie Potts, who played Ghostbusters secretary Janine Melnitz, in both 1984's Ghostbusters and 1989's Ghostbusters 2. The Ghostbusters also starred Rick Moranis as the bumbling Lewis Tully, and William Atherton, I think I'm saying that his name right, as snooty Environmental Protection Agency Inspector Walter Peck. In Afterlife, canonically, is that even a word? The third film in the franchise, single mother Callie, played by Carrie Coon, and her two children, Phoebe, played by McKenna Grace, and Trevor, played by Finn Wolfhard, you know, one of the kids from Stranger Things and the Stephen King It movies. He was in It Part 1. Relocate to a sleepy town of Somerville, Oklahoma, where they uncover a connection to the original Ghostbusters and their grandfather's secret legacy, along with seismologist and school teacher Mr. Gruberman, played by Paul Rudd. The family will investigate ties to the vanquished Gozer, sparking a new generation of Ghostbusters. Oh, dude, this sounds fucking amazing. Oh, wow. Oh, man. Reading that is more information than I've ever heard about Ghostbusters Afterlife. I knew that it had to do with a new generation of people. I knew that there was kids involved. I knew that it took place in a small town someplace. I knew that the teacher was like a science teacher and was aware of the original Ghostbusters. But beyond that, I didn't know anything else. So all of that is amazing. That is some really cool insight. And I'm really excited to see this movie now, even more so than I was before. And it's sad that that movie is not going to be released until next summer. It was supposed to be released this July, but because of all the COVID-19 things going on and things being shut, the country being shut down, they basically postponed the entire movie till next year. Even though it's ready to be released, they're not doing a digital release of it, which is sad. I wish they would. I would so buy the movie. I would spend every bit of money I have to buy this movie. This is like the one movie in 2020 I was really looking forward to seeing. I was like, okay, I know there's a bunch of other things releasing this year, but the one that really is at the top of my list is Ghostbusters Afterlife. I'm really excited to see that. Yeah, I can't even tell you how much of the excitement. I mean, you could probably tell just by how passionate I am being about this right now. Man. That is so cool. All right, so this is what else it says here. Is the threequel will pay tribute to the late Ramis, whose Egon Spengler is revealed as Phoebe and Trevor's mysterious grandfather. Oh, dude, I kind of figured that's what it was going to be, but I'm glad that it's actually been, like, verified. Quote, Jason Reitman wrote a beautiful, heartfelt script that takes the real DNA from the first two movies and transfers that directly to the third, The Next Generation. It hands the legacy of the new generation of the stars and players and actors and characters. Producer Dan Aykroyd said during a prior appearance on The Greg Hill Show. Quote, it was really exciting working around this new idea. A new take on this story, which Jason, who's really incredible and a fine filmmaker, came up with. So I'm pretty excited. The movie is going to be scary. It's going to be thought-provoking. It's going to be very heartfelt, Aykroyd added. You feel it. If you have loved ones that you miss, that you've lost, and you want to get back with, it'll be very evocative that way. Evocative? That's awesome. That's really cool. I started reading, I don't know, you could probably tell when I was reading that, I was starting to get a little emotional because, I don't know, if you've listened to my podcast long enough, you've probably heard me talk about my mom passed away December 2009, and it's this last Christmas was the 10th anniversary of that, and, you know, it's been 10 years. Almost 10 and a half years at this point, and I'm still kind of working through that. I don't always have an actual physical reaction to stuff like that, but sometimes I do, and like I'm right now, I'm wiping away tears. I mean, I had the same kind of reaction when I saw the movie Coco, which is all about like your family and loved ones who are no longer here. So that movie, I think, is going to mean a lot to me. I mean, I already love the Ghostbusters. I am definitely a ghost head. But it's going to be even more so now that I know that's kind of part of the story. So and then it says here at the bottom, it says, GADS Reunited Apart, a fundraising effort launched amid the coronavirus pandemic. Previously, previously reunited the cast and crew of the beloved films of the 1980s, including The Goonies and Back to the Future and Splash. I've watched all of those, and if you haven't seen them, I recommend looking for his YouTube channel and watching them, because it's basically they record a Zoom call, and they have all these. The one thing about these videos that Josh is doing that I just kind of like wish he didn't do, which is the awkward, like asking a celebrity to help him get other people on his thing. I'm not sure if when he's doing that, if it's legit like him asking or if it's just them playing it up. Like, hey man, since I have you on this Zoom call, can you call so-and-so? You know? And that was one of the things that just made me go, oh dude, don't do that. Come on. I mean, it's cool if they agree and they bring people on. And thankfully, no one has ever said no to him while on these Zoom calls. So that's what makes me think that it's, you know, kind of a setup. It's not like a legit him asking. It's them playing parts, you know. So, again, if you haven't seen the Reunited Apart, definitely look it up on YouTube. Check it out. Watch all the episodes. They're about half an hour each. The Back to the Future one is pretty awesome. And then there's kind of a follow-up video with that one, which was really, really funny. And definitely watch that as well. So the next story here, which was the Big Bang Theory star says a reunion can't happen because of legal stuff, quote-unquote legal stuff. It says here, the Big Bang Theory was one of the most successful sitcoms in TV history, and while it's has only been off the air for a year, fans shouldn't expect a cast reunion to happen anytime soon, if ever at all. As star Mayim Bialik notes, that legal stuff makes things complicated when it comes to reunions. Understandably, the long-running sitcom and syndicated broadcast, in addition to home video and streaming markets, means there's a lot of paperwork involved when it comes to bringing the cast back together, which is surely a reason why many other beloved sitcoms don't have reunions in any official capacity. Quote, again, there's a lot of legal stuff which is very boring about why shows do have reunions and don't, but I think it's probably too soon, the actress shared with Metro.co.uk. The flagship series might have come to an end, but the franchise is still going strong, thanks in part to young Sheldon. As far as whether the series will earn a reboot, she claims there aren't any plans that she knows of. This aspect of the industry is that everyone does have other jobs and all sorts of other things going on, she admitted. Right now, Jim Parsons and I are producing a show called Call Me Cat, so that's technically where my life is. The series was created by Chuck Lorre, and due to coronavirus pandemic, production on virtually all TV shows has been halted indefinitely. With the upcoming 2020 and 2021 seasons of television sure to look different than many had anticipated, despite the majority of the series stars moving on to other projects, CBS would like to be open to continuing the franchise in whatever capacity Lorre saw fit. When discussing whether there were talks about expanding the franchise last year, CBS Entertainment President Kelly Call explained, quote, nothing formal, but the ball is squarely in their court. If they want to talk to us about it, we're here to listen. So that's, to me, that sounds like CBS is like, okay, if you guys want to do something else, you want to do more, we'll be open to the idea. So that to me is awesome. I like that. It says here, Big Bang Theory and Young Sheldon might have called CBS home during their initial broadcast, but HBO Max has earned the streaming rights to both programs. Also very cool. So it's possible any potential reunion special could call the new platform home. Similarly, I can say the word I really can. Friends was broadcast on NBC and now can be found on HBO Max, with a reunion special currently planned to air on the platform and on the platform at some point in the future. Okay, that's cool. I mean, I was never a Friends person. I think I watched maybe a total of 10 minutes. I've seen specific clips on YouTube and stuff during, like, you know, top 10 lists and things like that. But I never regularly watched that show. All right, next story on the list of things to talk about.
There are a couple of different ways you can support the podcast. One is by rating and reviewing the podcast by going to rate.206geek.com. The other way you can help the podcast is by going to support.206geek.com and become a podcast supporter. If you support the podcast in that way, you will get a shout out on every episode. And now a word from our sponsor.
Hey everyone, this is Todd, the 206 Geek. I wanted to tell you guys about Anchor. Anchor is a podcasting app and service. There are creation tools to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so you can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and a bunch of others. You can make money with your podcast with no minimum listenership or subscribers. Everything you need to make a podcast in one place. The best part is, it's free. All you have to do is download the free app or go to anchor.fm to get started. And now back to your show. Wanda Group Hong Kong challenges Marvel trademark of WandaVision. This is a story from BleedingCool.com. WandaVision is an upcoming TV series created by Disney Plus and for Marvel by Jack Schaefer, based on the Scarlet Witch and Vision characters and the Tom King and Gabriel Walta series set in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, with Schaefer serving as head writer and Matt Shakman directing. It stars Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany reprising their movie roles. Teyonah Parris, Kat Denning, Randall Park, and Katherine Hahn also star. Filming began in Atlanta, Georgia in November 2019, but in March 2020, production was halted due to the pandemic. WandaVision is scheduled to premiere in December 2020. But that might change. Naturally, Marvel has sought to trademark the word WandaVision for its own purposes, but not everyone is happy with that. And now the Wanda Group of Hong Kong has sought to challenge the U.S. trademark for that word. And this is oh, that's a lot of... Suffice to say, there's a very wordy, and I'm sure legal document here about that. So if you want to read that, I'll include this along with everything else I talked about will be included in the show notes. see here. I'll read some of it. I'm not going to read the whole thing because there's a lot here. The Wonder Group LTD has been given an extension by the U.S. government to challenge Marvel over the WandaVision trademark. The Wanda Group have registered trademarks for Wanda in many areas, but the ones they are challenging Marvel over include action skill games, action figures, board games, card games, children's multiple activity toys, badminton sets, balloons, basketballs, bath toys, baseball bats. Okay, so just listing off all the stuff that their trademark would be on. So, I mean, you get the basic gist of it, but if you want to see all of the different items that the WandaVision name would have been trademarked for, then you can check it out in the show notes by going to notes.206geek.com. And then, let's see here, next story, which was Suicide Squad director David Ayer defends Jared Leto's Joker look. Well, let's see what he has to say. Suicide Squad director, okay, by sharing this post that compares the actor's version to that of the comic. Before Suicide Squad was even released, Jared Leto's Joker was put under fire for his look. Later on, the actor's performance in the film was panned by fans and critics. Director David Ayer, however, has consistently defended the film's star, citing that the majority of his performance was cut out of the film. Now that the director has taken to this defense to step forward and now defending the look of the character. In a recent post, David Ayer shared an image that showed a side-by-side comparison of Jared Leto's Joker and that of the character from the comics, and expressed how baffled he was that people would call the look inaccurate to the books. All right, let's take a peek here. It looks like this is a Twitter picture. Let's click on it so I can get a better look at the... Okay. So he's got several images of the comic book images of the Joker, Frank Miller, Grant Morrison, Alex Ross, and Greg Capullo. I'm probably mispronouncing the name. I apologize. Either way, those are all different artist renditions of the Joker. And then on the other side of those names, directly across from the artwork that of the Joker, is like images from the movie with Jared Leto as the Joker. Okay, now I can see where they kind of got some of the idea for the character. I think for me, the problem I had was that I think people are specifically talking about classic Joker, not like this new 52 with the buzz cut, you know, and yeah. I think my issue with the Leto Joker was that, like, he didn't look like the Joker as much as he looked like a Juggalo. And they don't have a problem with Juggalos. Don't get me wrong. I like Insane Clown Posse's music. When it comes to comic book villains, I don't want them to look like fanboys of a music group. I would much rather the bad guy, the villain of a comic book character, to be kind of his own thing. And, you know, the classic look of the Joker, I still think is a strong character. I think that he looks menacing. He looks crazy as fuck. You know, he looks like he would do some horrible, horrible things to you just by looking at him. Now, the Leto Joker, he literally looks like a, you know, he looks like a fanboy of a rock group or a hip-hop group. Lots of tattoos, probably drinks a lot of alcohol, smokes a lot of weed. The Joker has always been very, very calculated and very intelligent. And I don't see the Joker as being someone who imbibes in any kind of like controlled substances or consumes mass quantities of alcohol. That being said, the Ledger Joker to me always seemed like a meth addict. He was never really the Joker for me either. He looked like a meth addict who was really into DC Comics. That's what he looked like to me. So, but knowing that this other version of the Joker does exist in the comics, I can see where they got their inspiration from. I just don't think it was the right choice. I don't know. There might be people out there who actually really like that version of the Joker. Because There's an image here of where he's got like his hair is very short and it's like shaved on the sides. It almost looks like he has like Forrest Gump's haircut in one of these. And I can see that was definitely inspiration for the Leto Joker, in the slicked back hair. I don't know. I think the biggest issue I had was all the tattoos. It just the Joker, I don't see having tattoos. I'm also like, you know, I'm probably older than people who actually thought that looked cool. I face tattoos have never been a thing for me. I like tattoos, and in fact, I wanted to get more at some point in my life if I ever have the money to. But I will never get a neck tattoo. I'll never get a face tattoo just because I'm not trying to say that people that do those things are stupid or anything. I'm not. I think that for me, it would look bad. I think that I would want to keep certain parts of my skin clean from ink. Just because if I want to dress up and I want to look nice, I want to look presentable, I don't want any ink showing. And if you got neck tattoos and face tattoos, you can't exactly hide that shit. As cool as they look and as good as the art is, there's just sometimes some places that you go, you don't want to show off your art. But that's me personally. I'm not saying that you're wrong or you're bad for doing that. Don't think of it like that. I'm just saying for me personally, that's how I feel I would be if I did it. I wouldn't do it. So, and you know, that's the thing. I've commented in the past about neck tattoos. And one of my friends is like, dude, I have neck tattoos. Do you think about that with me? It's like, well, I honestly didn't ever notice your neck tattoo. So your neck tattoo isn't like jumping out and grabbing me by the eyeballs and saying, look here. So that's not an issue for me with him. It's the ones that are so big and so flashy and so, like, in your face, you can't help but stare at them. That's what I'm talking about. If you have a neck tattoo that isn't like, hey, look here, look at my neck, then I don't have an issue with that. It's the ones that are like, I don't know. It's not even like a design thing. I don't even care if it's your name or your daughter's name or your girlfriend's name or whatever or whoever's name or like a design. I just think neck tattoos, unless you're planning on tattooing every inch of your body, I think face and neck tattoos just shouldn't be a thing. But that's strictly for myself. You can do whatever you want. I don't care. I don't think it would work for me. All right, next story.
Okay, they're talking about fictional characters.
I know.
Fictional characters.
I know.
Am I getting through to you at all?
Yes. Sorry. I meant to hit, sorry. I meant to hit this one.
Sorry, boot that.
Yeah. Hit the wrong button. That happens. I tried to color code them so I know which ones are which, because the buttons are far enough away that I can't actually read the words on it. Maybe I should move this closer. There we go. All right. And all of a sudden, I feel like gas bubbling up in my throat. I don't want to belch into the mic. So in case it accidentally creeps out, I apologize, and I'll try to edit that shit out if I do. All right. So next story is Disney reported developing a live-action remake of The Black Cauldron. This is one of those movies I remember it being in theaters, but I don't know if I've ever seen it. And I think I have it on my Plex server, and I probably should just go ahead and watch it. I know I've tried a number of times to watch it, but that's the thing, though. For me to watch, a lot of times I'll put on a movie that I'm either not interested in really seeing, or it doesn't matter if I fall asleep. I'll put something on like that on my Plex server, because I don't know about you guys, but I can't really fall asleep with no sound or nothing happening in my room. I have to have, and I think it has to do with the fact that years ago, I lived in a house with a bunch of friends, and one of the kids of my friends would sleep in the living room with the TV on kind of loud, and so I got used to the kind of the TV, like, commercials and, like, sitcom sounds kind of in the background. So, you know, so maybe that's why I kind of have to have something playing while I'm trying to go to sleep. Or I put on something that I'm not really going to watch. It's just kind of there as background noise. And I've put that on a number of times. The Black Cauldron is in my collection, and I should really sit down and watch it. I really should. So this is what it says here. Walt Disney Pictures is reportedly developing a live-action remake of the 1985 animated film The Black Cauldron. Disney reacquired the rights to the Chronicles of Prydain. Prydain? Is it P-R-Y-D-A-I-N? Prydain? Prydain. The five-part novel series penned by Lloyd Alexander that inspired the animated feature in 2016. Published between 1964 and 1968, the fantasy series The Book of Three, The Black Cauldron, The Castle of Light, Lair? And Taren Wanderer. And also the High King was first optioned by the studio in 1971. The animated feature, largely inspired by the first two novels, have little resemblance to Alexander's works. Will receive a redo, according to Scooper Daniel RPK. It says here, it's not yet known whether Black Cauldron is eyed for theatrical release or a bow on the Disney Plus, where the studio premiered its live-action Lady and the Tramp. Disney is also developing a live-action Lilo and Stitch for the streaming service. That is so awesome. Oh my God, that's amazing. I love Lilo and Stitch. That was me, by the way. That's one. I think that's part of the reason why I like those movies so much, is because that's a voice I can do. And it's funny to me, when I watched that movie, I immediately thought that the actor doing Stitch was going to be Frank Welker, because that was a voice that he had done in other, or similar voice he had done for other characters throughout my childhood, but I remember reading someplace that he had nothing to do with the movie. He did not voice Stitch, although he did get hired to play some of Stitch's cousins on the TV series in one or two of the movies' sequels. So, them doing a live-action Lilo and Stitch makes me very happy. Oh, gosh. I'm glad I picked this story to read, because that makes me happier than the Black Cauldron being remade as a live-action movie. It says here, Disney's animated Black Cauldron followed the magical adventures of assistant pig keeper Taran and his allies. Princess Ellenway of Lear. Minstrel Flute. Damn it, I can't even say that damn word. F-F-L-E-W-D-D-U-R. That's the person's name. I can't fucking pronounce it. No. And it lists a bunch of other characters. I'm not reading them all. Who band together to keep a maniacal monarch, the evil horned king, from possessing the Black Cauldron and using its demonic powers to raise an army of the dead and conquer the world. Once the most costly animated film in history, The Black Cauldron was a commercial failure criticized by then Disney studio chairman Jeffrey Katzenberg, who said the too dark animated film lacked the humor, pathos, and the fantasy strongly presented in Alexander's works, calling its story a once in a lifetime opportunity. Katzenberg admitted it was heartbreaking to see such a wonderful material wasted. Well, maybe they'll do better on the live action one, right? After scoring billion plus box office hauls with live action reimaginings of Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin and The Lion King, Disney will next translate beloved 1989 animated film The Little Mermaid, credited as the start of the Renaissance era that redefined Disney animation after its prolific animated feature division was jeopardized by the failure of The Black Cauldron into a live-action musical. Other upcoming live-action remakes include Peter Pan and Wendy, the Emma Stone starring Cruella, and Hercules, produced by Avengers Endgame director Anthony and Joe Russo. That sounds cool. I think I talked about that in a previous episode. The Hercules live-action one. And the last thing it says here is fantasy, magic, and fun are all brewed together in Disney's legendary adventure, The Black Cauldron. Whoever releases the mysterious Black Cauldron's power will be invincible. The fearsome will be invincible. The fearsome horned king will do anything to possess it. But he is challenged by the most unlikely adversary, a young assistant pig keeper named Taran, who dreamed of doing heroic deeds with a motley team of brave princess, a minstrel, a hen, and a remarkable pig who can predict the future. Taran embarks on a great quest to stop the Black Cauldron's evil once and for all. Will he have the courage to succeed? Yeah. Might be good. Might suck ballsack too. I don't know. Of the other live action movies, I haven't seen all of... I started watching the Beauty and the Beast live action, and I couldn't get past like the first 10 minutes. And I watched Aladdin, and I watched... what was the other one? Lion King. And I thought that the movies could have been better in some areas, and then in other ways I thought they were pretty awesome. So who knows? Who knows? We will see. All right, so the next story I have here is Flashpoint movie to bring this Justice League character. Oh yeah. And Flashpoint is still happening? Let's see what it says here. Who knows what the hell is going on with the upcoming Flash movie? This film has been in development for many years and has burned through many directors in that time. A couple years ago, it was announced at San Diego Comic-Con. It was announced at San Diego Comic-Con the standalone Flash film would actually be an adaptation of Flashpoint. However, in the time since then, most signs have pointed to this just being a standalone Flash story. But we may have another sign that a Flashpoint movie is what we're getting. I'll get there in a second. But that piece of news is revealed in service to another rumor. According to scooper Daniel Richman, Warner Brothers is planning to put Justice League Cyborg in the Flashpoint movie. So let's address each piece of the rumor at a time. Let's start with Cyborg. This is a character we were introduced to in Batman v Superman, but didn't actually do anything until Justice League. Warner Brothers had plans to thrust him into his own film, but in the wake of Batman v Superman fallout, those plans were shelved. Since then, it felt like Cyborg was a character Warner Brothers was keen to forget. Back when Rick Famuyiwa, oh god damn it, these people and these names, Famuyiwa, I'm probably butchering that too, I'm not going to try again, was on board to helm. It was indicated that Cyborg would be featured in a cameo role. At this point, we don't know if the role in Flashpoint will be a cameo, but the story involved an other. But if his story will involve other Justice League members, I expect they'll be meatier in nature. Now, as far as the Flashpoint aspect goes, this has me uneasy. I know a lot of fans are super on board with the story justifying the splinter of the DCEU. I'm not. I personally think we're at a point where Warner Brothers doesn't have to justify all these inconsistencies between their films. What could result is a story that stretches itself too thin and incorporates too many elements given how little time we've actually had with The Flash. I want that film to focus solely on him and his struggle. Well, yeah, okay. I'm thinking like this. I think that the Flashpoint movie could tie everything together. All the inconsistencies between all the DECU movies, all the things that people whined and bitched and complained about, you know, all the things that people are like, that never happened.
Okay, they're talking about fictional characters. Fictional characters. Am I getting through to you at all?
Right? So, I think that the Flashpoint movie can fix all of that. I think the Flashpoint movie can fix the DECU if they do it right. I think that, I mean, let's look at like the Arrowverse. I think it was season 3 had Flashpoint. They used that as an opportunity to tweak a few things in that universe to change things so we could have the story that people have been asking for, people wanting to see certain things, but couldn't because of the constraints they put themselves into. They decided to use the Flashpoint Paradox storyline in the series to kind of fix some things. And I think they could totally do that with the movies. And I think they should do that with the movies. Because, yeah, people hated Batman v Superman. They hated Justice League. We're finally getting the Snyder Cut on HBO Max sometime next year, I think, or later this year. So why not? Why can't we, you know, we fix the DECU? I mean, I'm going to continue reading here on this story, but I think if nothing else, the Flashpoint Paradox storyline can fix things like actors who are like not really like being looked at favorably anymore. Like Ezra Miller fighting that fan. What was he thinking? All right, let's see what else this thing says. Let's see here. No, it looks like that's it. I read the whole thing. I thought there was more to the story, but I guess not. What was below that is just advertisements for this website, which is the Latino Review Magazine Online, or LTMonline.com, which is a great site. All right. Here's another take on the same thing I just was talking about. I clicked on two different links talking about the same thing from two different sites. Let's see if this has any different information as far as... this is what it says here. It's Warner Brothers' forthcoming movie based on DC's The Flash, which first was and then wasn't and now probably is an adaptation of Jeff Johns and Andy Kubert's Flashpoint miniseries, is once again rumored to have a featured role planned for Victor Stone, played by Ray Fisher, also known as Cyborg. Okay. Yeah, we know that. Okay. And it says, and it talks about, basically rehashing what I already said. The idea that Vic and Barry still had a close relationship was hinted at in Crisis on Infinite Earths, the CW Arrowverse event, in which Miller's Barry showed up in the Speed Force, met with Barry Allen of Earth One, which is played by Grant Gustin, and liked the sound of the name The Flash. As he vanished from the Speed Force, presumably either to go back to his Earth or because his Earth had been destroyed by the Anti-Monitor, the movie version of Barry said, "I told Vic this was possible." That's right, I forgot about that. That was probably my favorite part of the crossover, was the fact that the DECU Barry Allen and the Arrowverse Barry Allen met each other, and I wish that scene had been longer, because basically all they did was like, cool costume, wow, that's really neat, is this do that and that and that, and it's like, oh, is this for, you know, and it was such a funny scene. Oh man, if nothing else, watch the Infinite Earth crossover event on the CW app or the website. I think it's still there. And it just, I think it was like second or third episode that happened, and it was so good. It was like the best cameo in the whole series. Sorry, Burt Ward, but you know, yeah. Anyways, next story from the Nerdist. And I know I watched this video. I don't think I talked about this on the podcast because it was just one of those things that I saw on YouTube when I was going down the rabbit hole. I was looking for other things, and it's like, because you've watched this, check this out, kind of thing popped up. So the guy, if you're not familiar with, let's see if it says his name here. Yeah, Mark Rober, R-O-B-E-R. A YouTuber and former NASA engineer responsible for everything from blasting porch pirates with glitter bombs to educating people on how germs spread, has made a squirrel-proof bird feeder for his latest project. And if that doesn't sound like one of the most exciting backyard projects ever, you have made a mistake, because Rober's squirrel-proof bird feeder is also a squirrel obstacle course, and the squirrels apparently are little furry ninjas. Yeah, so he, from what I saw of the video, it took him like 2 months to build. It took him like a month to design and like come up with the ideas of the things he wanted to do, and it took like a month to kind of put it all together. And then he spent like the better part of, I think, a week or two, like filming the squirrels, kind of figuring out how to get to the food. One of the things he did is he put up various types of like edible things for the squirrels to figure out which one was the most popular, so he knew which ones to use for this obstacle course / anti-squirrel bird feeder thing that he built. Because apparently they're also very smart and they figure things out. So he put up like, I think it's like 10 or 12 different posts. And at the top of each post is like a little like maze or puzzle of some sort for them to get through. And it leads to the next post, which has another thing for them to figure out. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why doesn't the squirrel just climb up the last post where all the food is? Well, he's made the post super slick, so they can't grab anything. They try to climb up, and they just slide down. You have to watch the video. I play the audio for it, but my audio port on my new laptop broke yesterday. Well, it itself didn't break. I had a pair of headphones plugged in, and the headphones started acting strange, and so I wiggled the cord, and the tip of the headphone plug broke off inside the headphone jack on the laptop. So now my internal speakers don't work because it has like that thing tripped off. So the external speakers don't play because it's assuming it's going through headphones. So now in order to hear sound from my computer, I have to have a USB sound card plugged in. And, I actually have a boombox that has a USB adapter to it, so it essentially turns into a USB sound card. And that actually sounds better than the other one I have, which just has all kinds of background noise. Otherwise, I'd use that. So I will share this story so you guys can check it out for yourself. Watch the video. It's really, really funny. At the very least, it's funny. At most, it's like, oh my god, this guy spent a lot of time figuring this out just so the birds can eat the feed in his backyard. He spent a lot of time just so that he can watch birds eat from his feeder in his backyard. This is, like I said, I previously mentioned earlier in me talking about this guy. He built this anti-theft package on YouTube. That's hilarious too, by the way. All right, so the last story I have here is somebody actually built the Slugger 2000. And I think I've seen this guy's other videos. If this is who I think it is, it's a dude, I think, in England or Australia. But he, like, builds, like, real-life versions, like, yeah. This is the loveliest mad engineer on YouTube, Colin Furze, F-U-R-Z-E, Furze, has built a real-life version of Biff's bat from Back to the Future 2, and it's a smashing success. That's brilliant. And that's pretty much it, and it has the video. So, like I said, I'm sharing all these things so you guys can check it out for yourself. And I'm pretty much out of time anyways for this episode. I ran a little bit long because I probably babbled for too long during this episode. Thanks again for being a subscriber to my podcast. If you like my podcast and you want to hear less of the advertisements and the other things that I add to the podcast, you can become a subscriber of my Patreon. You go to patreon.com/206geek. And this episode will be just me talking about the stories. It won't have any of the advertisements or the other things that I add in there. I think the ad-free version, I think, is at the $10 or $15 level. To have early access to episodes, I think it's like $5. So I'll post this version of the episode, like, if you're hearing this on, like, iTunes or your normal podcast app. I released this episode a couple days ago over on Patreon. And if you become a patron of my Patreon, you can listen to it before everybody else. And if you subscribe at a specific level, I think the minimum is $15 for the ad-free version, you'll have that as well. I'm going to post both versions on Patreon. Today is Friday. Friday the 6th, I think. Is today Friday or today? No, I'm sorry. Today's Thursday. So today's Thursday the 6th. I might actually post them tomorrow. I'm recording today on the 6th. I'm going to post these tomorrow on Friday the 7th. And everybody else will hear them on Monday, which I think I pull up my calendar here. Come on. There we go. Monday is going to be the 8th. So Monday the 8th, the ad version, the normal ad-supported version of the podcast will be released. So if you're hearing this on the 8th, you could have been a Patreon subscriber and heard it last Friday. So going forward, if you want to hear it on you know, before the weekend, become a subscriber on Patreon. If you don't mind the advertisements and you just skip over them anyways, which I don't recommend. I mean, you should listen to the advertisements because it helps pay for the podcast. If you want to have the ad-free version, go to patreon.com/206geek and become a patron. I'm trying to figure out some cooler, like, things for people who become patrons. I would like to see people become patrons first, and then if you guys have ideas for things that I can do, I don't know. I'm not like an actor or celebrity or anything that I can, but I suppose if you wanted like outgoing messages and things like that, I could do that kind of stuff. If you have requests for, I've seen other people do this where they read a dialogue from a show or a movie or something in character. I can do some voices. I do a decent Kermit the Frog. You can do Kermit. I can do a Butthead. Yeah. I'm pretty good at Beavis too. So who else? I do the. And then I do this other guy. He's kind of like Kermit the Frog. Yeah, he's pretty much Kermit the Frog, but, you know, he's more of a dork. Either way, if you want me to read something in one of those character voices, I can do that too. Or you can just ask me if I can do a voice, a character voice, and I can try. I can't promise I'll do good, but I'll try. But I'm just, like I said, I'm just starting up to using Patreon again. So if you guys have ideas for like Patreon levels and access to things, I might even set up a Patreon access level to my Discord server, which you can access by going to the 206 Geek website, which is the.206geek.com, and there's a link right there on the homepage for the Discord server. The Discord server right now I just use for a lot of times these days I've been using it for listening to music with friends, and sometimes we do like games, like Jackbox games has been a lot of fun. We, you know, someone screen shares the game board and then everybody logs in with their mobile devices and plays. The other things I've done on there is, well, I think the most common thing we've done on there is I have a bot on my Discord that allows you to request music and it will play. So that's kind of fun. Like I said, it's brand new. I haven't really played with it much before. I mean, I tried years ago to do Patreon and I didn't really have it figured out. And I'm trying to figure it out again, and hopefully I can get it working. So go to patreon.com/206geek to become a patron of the podcast and get ad-free versions of all this stuff you're listening to right now. And I might even try cutting out this last bit where I'm just babbling for 10 minutes. So, anyways, thanks for listening. Talk to you guys next time. You know, hope you stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you guys again. Bye. And as always, if you want to see any of the stories that I talked about, you can go to notes.206geek.com and you'll see the notes for the current episode listed there. That's notes.206geek.com.